Hello, hello. Welcome to the Selling Digital Podcast. I am Yatsia, your host, creator of OnlineTemplateShop.com. In this episode, I want to talk about one of my favorite things in the world, which is sales. I love selling. I love being sold to. I know I've said this so many times, but it is the truth. And I wouldn't be in this online world if I didn't like those things. I understand that selling can be a little bit cringy for people. Like maybe you are cringing right now. Listen, you're a business owner. You have to sell, whether you like it or not. That is how you make money. I do understand that sometimes we see selling as a negative thing because we see so much shitty stuff going on in the online world that sometimes it makes it hard for us to create a positive, what's the word I'm looking for? View or relationship with selling. But inevitably, that is something that we all have to do. Whether you're selling something that is $7 or something that is $700, or maybe you charge $70,000 for your offers. Even something that is free, your freebie in an ad that you're running, your freebie on your website, you have to sell that to someone, meaning you have to convince someone to give you something for that freebie. They're giving you their email address. And how you do that is positioning that offer to the right person in the right time, in the right way. I know that sounds easy to say, but it is more complicated. Now, the sales process does not have to be complicated itself, but there are some things that you do need to understand because they need to all work together in order to get someone to buy from you. We sometimes think that all we need is a beautiful looking sales page with fun sounding copy. But if your copy isn't talking to the right person, it's not going to sell. If the look and feel and theme and all those good feelings of your website isn't reaching or talking to the right person, also, it is not going to sell. Having said that, it is not about who has the most beautiful landing page, who has the most beautiful sales page, or who has the most professional copy. It's about who has created an offer that talks to an ideal person. And are you reaching that ideal person? I have finally sat down and put on paper the 5 steps that are always present in my decision making from coming up with the offer to closing the sale. We're not going to talk about all the details in between and in all of those steps, but I do want to share with you an overview, like a big overview of what these steps are, which we will define. I will give you all the steps and I will give you a brief description of what it entails in every single step. And this is all coming from a perspective of a digital product under $500. That's what we're going to talk about here. Anywhere from free, a freebie that you are preparing, to anything about $500 that is a digital product. This could be a printable, any type of downloadable, an online class, a course, anything that is digital and between $0 and $500, that is what these steps apply to. This is not necessarily for services. It might apply for coaching if you're selling like a low ticket offer of coaching that is, again, up to like $500-ish. Dollars, some of the steps might apply to that, but I have a whole different process for anything that is services, coaching, that type of thing. That is something totally different. What I want to focus on is actual products that don't involve you as part of that product. Something that is a one and done that your customer can purchase, download, consume on their own. That's what these five steps apply to, and that is the perspective in which I'm going to be speaking. How did I come up with this? Well, because I've been doing it for so many years. Maybe you only know me from this business, online template shop. I've had it for 4 years now. It turned four back in January 23rd. It's March right now, so it's a little bit over 4 years. And before that, I had a lot of Etsy shops. I still have some Etsy shops. I still have my Teachers by Teachers store. Before that, before anything online, I sold services, which is basically selling myself. You know, oh my God, that really sounded bad. No. Services, I mean, when I was a college student, I was doing college work for other people. I worked with people anywhere from freshmen in college to people all the way working to with their PhDs. In an easy way to describe it, I was basically doing their work for them, whether that was homework, whether that was research for their thesis, whether that was putting together presentations. Hello, PowerPoint. My God, I've been working with PowerPoint since I was like 16. Probably not, probably more like 18, 19, something like that. And at the same time, during that time where I was doing services for other people, I was also selling online when, you know, eBay was all the rage. There was eBay, there was Yahoo auctions. And this was around the time I was probably 18, 19, and 20. That was my peak of Etsy sales. I would say all the way till, I don't know, a good 10 years. So I would say 27, 28 when I stopped selling on Etsy, because I realized that services were making me more money. Even though I loved selling online, it was all physical products though. It was all physical products, which was something that got tiring after, you know, 9-10 years of doing it. So services was more profitable and less physical work for me. So I stuck to services for a while. And then after that, I discovered Etsy in probably like 2008, something like that. It was a few years after Etsy started. And that's when I started working online, selling also first physical products on Etsy for a while, for years. I didn't discover digital products and blogging until probably 2010, 2011. So it was a good 3 years before I was like, wait, I can sell things online that are not physical. And my life changed. That's how we got here to 2024. It was discovering Etsy and discovering that I could sell things that were not services and that were not physical products. And after all of those years, I have finally put it on paper, because I realized that every single time I was following the same process. And this process that I'm going to share with you today, those are the steps that I follow every single time to sell pretty much any of my products. So these are the five steps, and I will also go into what each of those are. So step number one is your offer. Step number two is attract your ideal customer. Number three, stick to your pricing. Number four, the process. Number five, get them to pay. To me, number five is the most fun of all of them. So let's get started. Let's talk about step number one, which is your offer. First of all, to come up with a great offer, you need to know who you are selling to. I'm not going to go into realizing or figuring out what your niche is and who your ideal client is, because I have other resources for that. I will link a different podcast episode where I talk about realizing, you know, who is it that you are selling to. So before you even think about your offer, you need to know who you're selling to or what your niche is. There's a link in the description. Go ahead and listen to that episode, and then you'll have more clarity in deciding what your offer is. because your offer is not for everyone. And you cannot come up with a product or an offer if you don't know who's going to buy it. It's just as simple as that. You need to know who you are buying to. And don't tell me it's, you know, struggling business owners or stay-at-home moms. That is not your who. You need to get very clear on who your person is. Again, link it in the description box and it'll help you figure that out. And please, whatever you do, pick a niche, pick a who, the type of person who has money, who will buy the things that you put out, okay? I see this a lot, and it's people going into a niche that is trying to sell to people who don't like to buy. Again, different episode. Let's talk about the offer. So after you've done that and you have figured out who you're selling to and you're mapping out your offer, these are things that you need to have very clear. Number one, and probably the most important part of this step, is figuring out where in your ideal customer's journey you are going to help them. Obviously, your ideal customer will be in a journey between complete, you know, not even knowing what to do, to the point of where they're good, you know, where they have finally met what they're looking for. Where in that journey are you meeting them with this offer? That needs to be very, very clear, both for you as the offer creator and also your customer. Because when you're writing your copy, you need to be very clear with that. What part of their journey is it that this offer will apply to? Let's give this example of a homeschooling parent. That means a million different things, right? But in which stage are you going to swoop in with this offer? And let's say you want to swoop in at the stage where this parent already has their lesson plans all laid out. They know exactly what they're doing. Their calendar is done. Now they need to find the activities that will match that lesson plan. And that's where you come in with an activity that covers whatever lesson it is that they're working with. And this could be a lesson on two-digit subtraction for second graders, for example. This is a very specific product because it meets a very specific person at a very specific step in their journey. You are selling them an activity that matches a lesson. You're not selling them the lesson itself, but something that complements that. And that is how you need to look at your offer, is deciding exactly what problem it's solving and at what stage. That's what you're going to put on your copy. That's what you're going to have in your brain, center stage in your brain, the entire time you are creating that offer. Because it is so easy to deviate. Suddenly, you are designing your activity, and then you think, oh, well, but they might need a lesson. Let me create the lesson too. Oh, wait, they are going to need printables to create some manipulatives that they might need to teach their child how to subtract two-digit problems. No, no, no. These two things can happen, right? You can sell them up an offer that hits different stages in their journey, but that's going to cost more money. If you have decided that you're creating a $30 thing, don't suddenly get distracted and deviate from that, and suddenly you're creating a $300 thing. Notice how those two examples are very different products. While you can create both, you need to stay focused on what you said you were going to create at the price point that you already had in mind. Which brings me to price points, right? At the time you are mapping out your offer, decide on a price point. And I like to do that first. I like to think of, okay, I want to create an online class and it's going to be $40. What am I going to fit in those $40? So the value is at least twice of that. So usually I will create an online class with a value of about $100, but I will charge about $40 for it. And I do that on purpose because it allows a little bit of space, of creative space for me to over deliver in certain aspects of that offer. And that works for me. But if you are someone who will deviate, who will start creating a $30 thing and suddenly you have created $300, $400 in value, that might not be the thing. And the problem with that is not the pricing itself, is that your plan changes. Because you are not going to stick with your plan from beginning to end, and that's how things get complicated. Don't start creating one product and end up with a different one. This is what I'm trying to say. Also, write down what the transformation is. In very simple words, this can be one sentence. And this transformation statement, it's basically how long is it going to take for them to go from where they are to where that product is taking them. In going back to the activity example, you can tell from that activity that it's a done for you activity, and you can tell your customer it's done for you. It'll take you about 3 minutes to open a PDF, print it, and then staple it together. So be clear on the amount of time and the amount of effort, because at this point, time is effort, right? What additional effort does your customer need to put in order to go from I have a lesson plan but no activity to I have my lesson plan, my activity, and I'm ready to go? And in this case, if you're creating an activity for them that is done for them and all they need to do is print and staple it together, it takes what, 3 minutes to do that? And that will tie to the tangible win that your customer will have. And that tangible win leads them to the result, to what you want them to have at the end by using your product or offer, which is tomorrow's lesson with your kid is done. We're good. Here's your activity. Go at it. When you're getting ready to talk about your offer or write copy for a sales page or sales emails or things like that, you need to keep in mind who is it for. You need to be very clear and tell your customer who is this for and where in their journey is it going to take them to. Also, make sure to tell them why it includes what it includes, right? If you're telling them that it's a printable resource, why is it printable? If you're telling them that it is done for you, all you need to do is print and staple, why did you make it that way? And all you have to tell them is it is print and go, so you don't have to spend time coming up with 50 different two-digit subtraction problems. It is print and go, so you don't have to spend time in Canva typing all of these problems. It is print and go because now you don't have to spend time going back to your lesson, figuring out what it is that you need to teach, put it on a piece of paper that now you have to print. It is print and go because now all the directions and instructions for your child to work by themselves are done for you. See how those four different whys are very simple, but they hit the nail, right? When you tell someone, you don't have to go on PowerPoint or on Canva or whatever it is that they're using, and type it all yourself and then print it and make it look pretty and come up with the instructions and do all of this after you already did all the whole entire lesson, man, saves them time, money, frustration, and it takes them way faster to the transformation and further in their journey than if they would have to do it themselves. Yes, they have to spend money, but hey, how far are they in their journey from where they started to where they will be just by purchasing your offer? That is a sweet spot right there. Not that you necessarily have to explain why you charge what you charge. But right there, you're answering that question without even mentioning it, right? And I could talk about, you know, the offer part for way longer, because I think this is the longest stage of this process. But let's move on to step number two, which is attract your ideal customer. And at this step is where pricing and the who will meet. This is where we talk about these two things together, because this is important. You can charge whatever you want. Let's say you are charging, I don't know, $30 for one set of 10 printables for meal planning. Now, in the world of, we go to Etsy and we see 150 pages of printables for meal planning for like $3. $30 for 10 pages sounds like a lot in comparison to that, right? Now, these are two very different people. The person who's going to spend $2 and with those 150 pages is very different from the one who's going to pay spend $30 with you for your 10 pages. And it is all about the transformation. It is all about the who. It's all about knowing who you are selling to. The $3 or $2 set of printables is targeting a person who maybe has never had a set of printables to organize anything, or they don't really have a lot of money to spend or time to spend planning these things. I will probably buy it, download it, use it one time and put it away. Versus the person who you're charging $30 for the 10 printables has money and time to spend to plan and make it a habit in their life. Decide which one you're selling to, okay? I am not here to tell you which one you're selling to, but you decide which one you're selling to and talk to that person. Because the person in those two examples are very different people. And I'm not here to tell you who to sell to, but I'm here to tell you that you need to understand which one you are selling to, because your copy, your sales page, and the visuals of your entire branding need to match that person. Also, your 10-page printable has to have a much more rapid and deeper transformation than the $3 printable. And here is where value shows up, because your 10-page printable can be a whole process, right? It's not just this simple printable. You might also be providing some guidance by including prompts or by including an actual guided planning system in just 10 pages. Because remember, the person buying that meal plan, they don't have a lot of time to be buying an ebook or a course or anything like that. There's a reason why they're looking for a printable. And when you provide some guidance towards achieving their transformation, which is to have 30 days of meal plans, that's why you're charging $30 versus $3. You could create a $3, I don't know, bundle or set or whatever you want to call it. But that might just be the printables providing zero guidance. Again, both products are fine. You just need to decide which one you are doing. This is how you attract your ideal customer. The value is in the transformation. Okay? We talked about it on step one. How far in their journey are you taking that person? That's where the value is. That's the difference between charging $3 or $30. And the value, or ROI, you know how we call it in this online business world, could be measured in different ways. This could be on the time saved. This could be on the emotional energy that they're saving, right? This could be in the amount of money they saved, or even the amount of money they made. In an example like this, with the meal planning, you can say, you can have two different hooks. You can tell them how much money they are going to make because they're saving time. You can tell your customer to buy your set of printables to create 30 days of meal planning in 20 minutes so they can go back to working in their business and make more money. You can also tell them to buy your set of printables to create the same 30 days of meal plans in the same 20 minutes, but this time your hook can be to save $100 on groceries this month. Both examples deal with money. One of them, you're making money. The other one, you're saving. Use both, test both, and go with whichever one sells the best. Also, I quickly want to mention in this step of attracting your ideal customer, how they pay you has a lot to do with who you are targeting. Because let's say your offer is $500, right? It could be for $500 pay in full. Let's say you are selling a course on how to get your five-year-old to clean their own room. There could be so many different type of parents here, but the way they pay you attracts a different type of person. There's going to be the person who will pay you the $500, just one go, here it is, and then come back to you for more. Or there's going to be the person who's going to need a 3-payment plan. These two people are very different people, and I don't want to get too much into that, but probably, and I say this again, probably the person who's paying in full, the $500, has more disposable income than the person who needs that 3-payment plan. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to let you think about that. Who are you trying to attract? The person who has more money to buy more from you, or the other person? Now, step number 3 is stick to your pricing. Once you have decided who you are selling to, stick to that, okay? It just makes it easier for you. It makes it easier for your messaging, for your branding, for how you show up and what you create in the future. And I say this from experience. It is very, very hard to create a $7 offer and then try to sell something for $3,000. Because these two people might not be the same person. And I say might because, sure, I have spent $20 with someone that I've been wanting to work with. And this is a true story. This was like a couple of years ago. I purchased something very low ticket. And I can't remember exactly what but the amount of money was. It was under $20. It was one of these low ticket products. From someone who I was thinking of spending more money, and I think this was like a $3,000 course that I purchased. And I just wanted to know what their teaching style was. Now, was I ready and did I have the money to spend $3,000 on this course? Yes, I did. But because this person was newish to me and they didn't have a YouTube channel or they didn't have a podcast for me to consume some of their content prior and get to know them, how they talk, how they teach, things like that, I decided to buy this lower cost thing to get to know them better. Now, not a lot of people think this way. And usually the person spending less than $20 with you is going to be a very different person than someone who's going to spend $3,000 with you. As a business owner, I have falling into this trap a lot because I have built an audience over the past 4 years who is used to spending no more than $500-ish on something. I would say up to $1,000 on something because I have sold the lifetime offer for my membership. It's a little bit over $1,000. And I did have over 20 something people who purchased the lifetime offer for the membership. And again, those people who paid over $1,000 for lifetime is not the same person who is going to purchase the $30 monthly payment that the membership is. They're in very different stages of their business. They know what they want. They're looking for more. So while it is possible to sell to both, it is very, very hard to speak to both customers or clients at the same time. The copy is not going to be the same. So this is just word from experience, word from years dealing with this. Once you decide on a pricing point, understand that that is the pricing point-ish where you will stay for a while, at least, because it's always possible to pivot. It's always possible to do more. But usually once you pivot, you are talking to a different type of person. Now, having said that, one thing that if this is the only thing you walk away with from this episode, please, whatever you do, do not explain why you priced something the way you did. Don't tell people that your thing, it's either expensive or cheap. In whatever words you choose to do that. Explaining why you priced something the way you did opens up the conversation for bargaining or haggling prices. And again, this is coming from experience. I have experienced this. In the beginning, when I started selling things, I used to get emails from people, hey, I don't have, I don't know, $40 or whatever the pricing was. I don't have $40 today. Can I just pay $30? Just this one time. True story. I used to get emails like that from people. And while I understand that some people don't have the $40 or don't have the, I don't know, $400, it is not your job to price things according to someone's wallet, according to what they can afford. You price things in whatever way you feel like the value is. However you determine value, doesn't matter, right? So do not explain why you priced something the way you did. You do have to give them reasons to understand the value. Of course, you have to describe what's in your offer, what's included, blah, blah, blah. But don't tell them, hey, I priced this at $400 because it's such a great value. And I know you're struggling and I wanted to price it in a way that I know you can afford it. Don't tell people that, okay? No one wants to feel that way. I feel like when someone sends me an email telling me that they priced something at whatever low price they think it is because they assume or they think that I can't afford it. It doesn't make me feel good. Okay. Because number one, you don't know me. I'm just someone in your email list. You don't know me. You don't know what I can afford or what I cannot afford. And you don't know what I attach value to. Value is perception. Quick example here is I was talking to my aunt and I told her that I bought $220 tickets for Disney World and we could go to three different parks for $220. So I spent about $450 because it's me and my son plus taxes, whatever. I spent about $450 and in those tickets and we could go to three different parks. When we go to the parks, I have to pay for gas because we live about an hour away. So it's like, I don't know, $20 in gas. Plus the parking, which is $30, plus food, which would be about $40, maybe $50 in food, and whatever little things he wants to purchase, right? When I told that to my aunt, her jaw touched the floor. She was like, oh my God, that is so much money. How could you do that? And I was like, what do you mean so much money? Do you know how much it costs to go to one park? Magic Kingdom right now is $196 to go to Magic Kingdom one day. And I paid $220 for three parks. So to me, I attach value in that. I attach value on, oh my God, I can go to three parks for the price of one. I get to spend all day in a place where millions of people want to go every year. And I only live an hour away. I can go whenever I want to. And she lives even closer. She's like 20, 30 minutes from Disney. So if I was 20, 30 minutes, I would probably buy the yearly pass, which to me is an even greater value. But because, you know, I live in Florida, it's like 100 degrees in the summer and it's packed and I don't want to go. See how the value diminishes because of those things that I think are negative. So what I'm trying to say here is that she attaches value to something that is not Disney. She would never spend $200 to go one day to the park. And I totally would, because it's something that I enjoy. It's an opportunity for me and my son to spend a day just living in whatever magic Disney provides for us. And I think it's a beautiful thing for me to spend $450 for Disney tickets. She was just horrified. She was horrified when I told her that. See how different people attach value to different things, and value is a perception. You have to be a voice for the people who you are selling to, and stick with that, okay? Do not over-explain your pricing, okay? Do not ever explain your pricing to someone. They will either attach the value or they won't, and either way is fine. I could talk about pricing for hours on end, but we need to move on. So let's go to step four, which is the process. This is your actual sales funnel or sales process, whatever you want to call it. I call it the process, because at step four, which is where we are, is where we put together 1, 2, and 3. Stages 1, 2, and 3 all come together to form stage 4 or step 4, which is the process. And the process is going to meet the other 3. Now that you have your offer, you know who you're selling to, you are sticking to your pricing. Now we need to put a sales page together. And a sales page is step 1, where your customer will see your offer. So in that sales page, we need to put together all the messaging, all the decisions that we have made so far in regards to our offer. It all goes in there. The goal is to put all the information in there so there are no questions. So no one's emailing you with questions. So no one wants to get in a sales call with you. Oh my God, sales calls. No. So no one has to message you. If you have one of those little chatbot thingies on your sales page or your website, so no one has to message you with any questions. That is the goal. Of course, someone's going to have a question. You're going to forget something, and that is okay. Whenever you get a question, make sure to add it to the sales page so it is very, very clear what your offer is, who is it for, and what is the pricing, which are steps 1, 2, and 3. Now, how are we going to break that down? And I'm going to say this in the most simplistic way. I am not going to go into exactly what goes into each part of a sales page, because my goodness, that is like a whole another course in itself. But the most simplistic things that you need to have in a sales page are, number 1, you need to tell them what it is. Start with that. I hate when I go to a sales page and the first thing I see is someone telling me what my problem is. Again, you don't know me. You don't know what my problems are. Just tell me what it is, right? Give me an image of whatever it is that you're selling. Tell me the name of what you're selling. Tell me what it does and tell me the pricing. That is what I want to see when I click on a sales page. And that might just be me, but you know what I'm talking about when you click on a sales page. And all you see, you keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and you don't even know the name of whatever it is. You haven't seen an image yet because all the person is doing is telling you what your problem is. You are here because you feel this, this, and that. And I'm like, no, shut up. What is it that you're selling? And the worst thing is when there's only one buy button and it's like all the way to the end on a never-ending sales page, and you have to scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll to click on the buy button, because there's no pricing anywhere. You have to click on the freaking buy button to go to the cart to figure out that this thing is like, I don't know, $600. And then you go back, okay, but what is it that they're selling and why is it $600? Don't be that person, right? So number 1, what it is that you're selling. Number 2, what does it do? Right? And what does it do could be the transformation. It could be the ROI for that person. We talked about this a little bit earlier about it's either, you know, the mental space saved or the money they're going to make or the money that they're going to save. That needs to be front and center, because once you have told me what it is, what's the name, what does it do, how much it costs, and what is going to do for me, I'm good. I'm in. Now, tell me what's included, right? How does this work? And what is the promise, right? Where in my journey is it going to meet me? And where is it going to take me? And something that I always tell people to include is the curriculum. I cannot purchase something out of a sales page for a course, for example, where they don't tell me what the curriculum is. And this could be as simple as taking a screenshot of whatever the dashboard looks like, because I'm going to read at the lesson titles so I can figure out what it is. It doesn't have to be super detailed, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Just by mentioning something simple like, oh, by the way, this is what we're going to cover. And you put like five different titles of the different lessons that are included in your course. Or if you're selling like a printable, I don't know, planner, what are the sections of that planner? It could be as simple as that. What I have seen, and this just happened, a $5,000 course that I really, really, really wanted to sign up for. I ended up not signing up for it. This was a recent launch back in at the end of January. And it was like a very comprehensive course for selling offers on Evergreen, like setting up all your Evergreen stuff. My God, there was no curriculum anywhere on that page. And it was a very long sales page for a $5,000 course. I messaged them. They did reply very quickly, very kindly. And they gave me like a paragraph describing what the course is about. And I'm like, that's not what I asked. Whatever they wrote on that email was the same thing that was on the sales page, just using different words. That's not what I asked. I asked a 1, 2, 3, what is the curriculum here? Like, what are the titles of the lessons? Because I need to figure out, do I need to watch this whole thing? And what exactly is included here by looking at a curriculum? And that's just how my brain works. You know, I used to be a teacher. I am so used to writing lesson plans and designing curriculum and designing activities that go with that lesson plan and that curriculum. So that is just how my brain works. Sometimes I just want to see in black and white, what is it that is included? Now, after you're done with the sales page comes what happens after. What happens after someone buys? Did they buy right there? Or maybe they didn't and you want to have like an after purchase funnel in your email, maybe to upsell them to something else, or like an abandoned cart email to get them to buy the thing that they didn't buy. All of these things fall into the sales process itself, what we can call the sales funnel. And all it is what does it look like for someone to, what happens after the purchase, or what happens if they don't buy? And this could be a very simple, you know, they purchased, then you take them to an upsell, then you take them to a downsell, and then you send them 2 or 3 emails after that. This could be also, if they don't purchase, this could be a 1 or 2 email funnel that they receive after not buying your offer. And you have like a 1 or 2 email sequence on the background to try once again to tell them, hey, this is why you need to buy this thing. This is why this is good for you or not, right? The actual sales process might look different depending on what you are selling and depending on what your strategy is. But one thing that we can all include in our sales process, and it's something that I always use, it's something that I really, really like using, is time binding. And that is utilizing urgency to sell something. Urgency can be many ways. Two other ways that I like to use is, number one, by using pricing as urgency, whether it is that they're getting a discount for a specific amount of time, whether it is that I'm doing a pre-sale and the pre-sale is like, I don't know, $200 off, or creating urgency by adding a bonus. Let's say they purchase full price, and those who buy full price, they will get a bonus. But all of these things happen within a specific amount of time. And of course, this doesn't necessarily apply if you're selling something on Evergreen, because the most important thing about time binding here is to be honest and be real that, yeah, this is going to happen. Because if I know, which has happened, I know we have all seen it, right? We have all been on an Evergreen funnel and they're like, get $300 off until the ticker goes off. And there's like a countdown thing at the top that says 20 minutes. And a week later, you fall down the funnel again. And again, you see the same thing. $300 off until this this 20 minute timer goes off. And you're like, wait, but wasn't that supposed to be the same thing a week ago? So that means I can buy this thing 6 months from now and I still can get the same $300. It doesn't make sense, right? It just doesn't make sense. So when you're using urgency that is time binding to a specific pricing, just make sure that it is real and people are not going to get mad at you. Because if you're telling them it's only 20 minutes and then you're going to send them an email the next day, hey, the 20 minutes are up. You're not going to get $300 off, but you can still buy at regular price, which is, I don't know, $700. And a week later, I fall down the same Evergreen and I see that the thing I just bought for $700, I could have bought for $400. That's when problems start. You don't want to be that online business owner. Trust me, people will be mad and the trust is lost. So when we're using urgency, it has to be real. And you have to stick by it. Now, on step 5, which is getting them to pay, this part is more about you and your own mindset than it is your customer. Let me explain. This goes back to don't go back and forth in your pricing. Don't go back and forth in who you are selling to. You have to believe that the person you're selling to is your ideal customer, or no one's going to buy because you're not being clear, and you not believing in yourself and you not sticking to what you said you were going to do. It bleeds through your copy. It bleeds through your branding and all of your content, and people can tell. So if you're telling yourself that you're selling something for $300 when everyone else is selling it for $100, stick with it. You have to believe in that. You have to believe that you are capable of selling this thing for $300 because the value on the transformation match the pricing. This usually happens when you've been selling things for like $20 and suddenly you're like, oh my God, I'm tired of this. I just want to sell $500 things. That's when you will find your own mindset and your own thoughts going back and forth. Because it is a big jump, because you might need to restart adding people to your audience who can afford your new pricing, who are ready for the new transformation that you are providing, because your $20 thing does not provide as much of a transformation, does not provide as much of a movement in the journey as one or the other. And probably, not always, but sometimes, the involvement of how much do you put in of yourself in that product usually is more if you're charging more now. Now, this is all relative, right? If you are someone who started selling things at $400 and now you're charging $1,000, it's going to be just as hard as someone who started selling things for $20 and now are selling things for $400. So I'm not necessarily speaking to a specific money frame here. It's more about who is in your audience, who are you selling to, how are you changing that, and how are you aligning yourself and your mindset to believe deeply in who you are and why you are charging what you are charging without explaining why you are charging what you're charging, which goes back to the sales process, right? Step five, you know, getting them to pay. This can be the more emotionally charged aspect of the entire selling process that we just talked about, because it's all about mindset and working on yourself and just making sure that you believe that you are aligned to a specific pricing, to a specific customer, to a specific product. Oof. Okay. That was a lot. I'm going to leave it here, but if you have any questions and you want to go deeper, do let me know. Reach out. Let me know what you want to talk about. Let me know if this was helpful. I really hope it was, because this process has made me so much money since I've started my business and selling on the internet. And my whole purpose is that you too can follow a similar process and start selling your offers more frequently. Thank you for listening, and I will see you on the next one. Bye-bye.